Welcome to the Geek Actually After Show. God, I have to think about that for a second. Episode 99 for the 4th of September, September 2010. It's getting late in the day.
Use your words, Dave.
It is getting really late in the day. And you can tell because on the video I'm starting to slump further and further down.
If we wait long enough, Dave will actually slump right off the bottom.
I'll say, if you wait long enough, I'll be under the
table.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a good thing we don't have a fourth show.
This is
actually,
true.
Actually.
late with actually.
Love actually.
All right, so.
As Dave puts it, yeah, I love that.
Let's start again. Welcome to the Geek Actually After Show, episode 99 for the 4th of September 2010. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined in studio by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh? Oh, there he goes.
I'm good, dude. I'm actually numero zero, so the last one should just be actually.
Actually.
Yes, so anyway, no, I'm still good. I'm down for another like
we haven't actually hour. Had. We haven't actually had a single tired from you for 2 weeks now.
I'm doing it out of spite now. There'll be a point where I'll just kick it off and be like, yep, no. Now I'm tired again, but not this week, dude. It's not the right week.
We are also joined in studio by a first-timer guest, and this is Josh Spencer, the cartoonist.
Hello.
Josh, how are you?
It's great to be here.
Could he be any more insincere?
I feel, invigorated. It's probably all the sugar and caffeine I've been having.
And caffeine is good. Now you're just gonna have to come a little bit closer to your mic when you talk.
Okay.
Not too close.
I'm not radio
okay.
professional.
Okay.
We are also joined in studio by Celine Roberts, but she's off camera, and she's on a microphone that isn't always turned up. So she's gonna give signals when she needs to speak.
People flying into shot. People flying out of shot. Random guests showing up next to me. Dave, what the hell?
What's going on? All right, so this is completely unplanned today. We have no real agenda here because we knew Josh was coming and because we have one thing and one thing only we really want to talk about, which is our new artwork has arrived.
So,
yay! I am really, really pleased that our new artwork is here. Josh has been working hard on it, sending us through
Not
samples.
You, me.
And so forth. Wrong Josh. It's going to get very confusing having two Joshes here.
You can call
here.
Me Spenny.
Spenny, there you go. Before we get it's started, though, I think we need to explain a
Josh
little
S.
bit about...
Well, Spencer. Sorry for hijacking your show.
I'm used to it. It's okay. All right. I think before we go any further, though, we do need to just explain to anybody who has stumbled upon this podcast what the hell they're listening to. Because some people are going to be going, pardon, I thought I was listening to a film show or a tech show or a this show or a what show. This is an after show. We've already recorded our two main shows, and we decided a long time ago that it was kind of fun that if we just kept things going and just talked about all things that didn't fit into the other shows. And that's how the after show was born. And now that we have split the shows up, the after show has become a creature all of its own. And so the after show is where we finish the shows, we run the mics, and we just basically talk about whatever. Last week we got into this deep conversation about Cronenberg's films for...
It was like an hour.
An hour. It was very cathartic. It was a great discussion. Anyway, and so this week when Josh finished the artwork, I said, you should come on the show. I said, which one would you like to come on to? And he said, I think I would best suit the after show.
Well, actually, you said... After show.
Did I? I can't remember. That was like weeks ago.
It was a suggestion.
Discussion. Anyway, so the after show I thought would best suit.
Your reference seems to suit it so far.
Yeah.
You fit quite well into the...
Because I kind of...
Basically, the concept behind the show is just cut Dave off as mm-hmm. many times as you can.
Yeah, that's my job.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
You guys finished?
No, I got more. Josh, you? Yeah, I think we can probably keep going for a while.
We've got a whole show to do this.
Hey,
I
got to share with you a couple of articles one in particular article. If we get to the other ones, I don't care. But one article that we were going to do in the tech show and we didn't get to. Because it actually made me laugh when I read about it. And I thought, boy, this is just... And unfortunately, the graphic is not on this board because it was on the tech show's board. But so I'll have to leave off the graphic. But when you die... What would you like to be done with your remains?
Oh, I thought he was actually pointing at you.
I know.
Either of you.
That was
die.
A threat.
No, yes. Neither of you. When
I would
when
like
you die,
to be kind of my, you know, a Viking pyre or something, where you get put in the Viking ship and sailed out to sea, and they shoot flaming arrows at you, and you, the ship explodes and you burn like that.
But that's unique. I didn't expect that. Did you?
I like Vikings.
Oh, mine was worse.
What was yours?
I want to have basically an autopsy performed, and then after they finish, before they sew me back up, fill me with C4 and fire me from a catapult into the air and explode me.
Wow.
Wow, you guys are like sick.
Or a mummy, like mummified.
Yes, maybe. Celine, what would you like to have done with your remains?
I'd like to be tested on. And if my heart or liver or eyeballs or skin can save somebody else's life, then, you know, right on.
Well, damn straight, I'm on the organ donor's card, and basically...
I'm a donor egg.
Yeah, so I would actually say that take whatever still works on my body and use it for whatever purposes you want. I'm an atheist.
You're a smoker, though.
I'm an atheist belief, though, which means I don't believe that there is an afterlife. So as far as I'm concerned, once I'm gone, this body is useless to me. You know what I mean? So... take whatever you want, whatever still works, if anything still works.
I just don't think that's a smart idea. I mean, I know how I treat my body, so I don't think we should use it for science, because there's no scientific...
They don't use it if you've been a smoker or anything else. They actually, they'll use only the healthy organs.
Yeah, but even smokers, they can still use viable stuff. They can still use skin tissue.
Also, skin tissue is really important.
They don't want my eyes. I've already got crap.
I've got glasses, so my eyes are out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the bottom line is take whatever still works, and whatever is left over... Quite frankly, just roast it. I don't care. You know what I mean? Get rid of it.
Like
get the ashes.
Like,
no, as in, like, turn me into ashes and then spread my ashes over a wide, far area. I don't care.
My ashes are going to be spread.
Yeah, and chunks of you, too. Anyway, the reason we bring up this very morbid conversation is because there is a company in the UK. Of course it is. Let me just state, of course it is. There's a company in the UK that now says that they can take your ashes and press them into vinyl records.
Ooh.
You can give them the music that you want, or you can select from a library of music they have, and they will turn your remains into a vinyl album.
Actually, I heard of something where they get your ashes when you get cremated, and they can mix it in, like, ink, and you can get, like, the person can get tattooed with your ink.
That's pretty neat. Wow. Or what was it? They can also take your hair, and they can turn it into diamonds. This is what happened with some of Michael Jackson's hair. They can actually melt it down, and they can get the carbon from it and turn it into diamonds and stuff like that. So it's like there's all sorts of things that can be done. I just sit there and think the idea of being turned into a vinyl album, what a cool idea.
That is well wicked.
That is well wicked. I'd like to become a vinyl record.
You know what, though? If I was going to do that, I'd want an unsigned artist to take my ashes and make a vinyl so that it was new music.
I like
not
the
just
Geek
something.
Actually theme.
So anyway, moving along.
And highlights from the show.
No.
I thought you'd say Beatles or something like that.
No, I'm
a complete narcissist.
Okay.
No, I want me.
Okay, so we'll have Dave's themes put on a disc, and if you rewind them back, you actually get cuts out of the best episodes. If you rewind the track, so people can get really high and listen to you talk by reversing their vinyl
players.
That's
good. That's good.
See?
I like that. Yeah. That,
wow.
There you go.
If you play it backwards, like your kind of spirit haunts the house.
You actually come back and blow up all TVs close to it.
Yeah.
So, do you still want to be catapulted from a cannon, or
damn
do you
right.
want to be turned into a record?
No, player? I'm sorry, dude. I want to become something that will become a blip on the American, you know, sort of watch list. It'd be like nuclear bombs fly through the air.
I will point out, though, that to be turned into a vinyl record, it is going to set you back $3,500.
It's actually not that bad.
It's not that bad.
So it will, but, you know, you'll live forever, basically.
All right.
Live on forever. I like that idea. I keep looking at these notes, and they're not actually the show notes for this show, so it makes
just,
no difference.
You keep grabbing them.
I have no show notes for this show. So, okay, let's talk about cartooning. What got you into cartooning?
I was in year three, and we were all drawing, like, some... at school, we were drawing, like, a picture of the school buildings. And one of the teachers goes, "That's really good." And I was like, "Huh." And then, you know, I just kept on drawing, and basically just to get compliments, I think. And, but I've always loved cartoons and stuff like that, so just always drawing. And I wanted to work for Disney as an animator, but That never happened because they closed down in Australia.
Damn.
You could move overseas.
Yeah.
It's a yeah. list of possibilities.
These are always possibilities. Mm. Anything's a possibility.
To Korea, because that's where all the animation is.
Now, I happen to know a little birdie, Brad, told me that they've been looking for some cartoon artwork for their cover arts for the movie Fan House stuff. Oh. And I said, you should get in touch with Josh. And he goes, I think I will do that. So nice. So you might be getting a contact back from Brad and Charlie. They're good guys. Now, Delta Knight has said in our chat room, oh, yeah, press me into a record and then record ghostly sounds of me talking on the record to freak people out.
I don't think anybody's going to go into a store and buy that.
I don't think it's a mass produced album. I think there's like one.
So, I want mine mass produced.
How many Ashes do you think there are?
No, because you see, you haven't understood this. I've now incorporated a third part into this, which is that I'm going to get filled with C4, shot out of a catapult, explode in the air, and have it recorded onto a soundbite, which I will then get my asses pressed into and mass produce it.
Sorry, say again, Celine?
You're going to have to find all the little bits. You've been blown up.
No.
They're going to be picking up eyeballs.
They can cut a foot off and burn that down.
Press the foot.
Exactly.
It's not really going
to
be a lot.
How did we get back? Oh, that's right. Chat room got us back to the subject. All right. So I have to ask, can you make a living out of being a cartoonist?
No.
At least you're honest.
If you're famous, there's like, because everyone thinks that they can draw and everyone thinks that they're awesome and there's millions of people that want to do cartoons and art and everything like that, so the market is very flooded with I don't want to sound narcissistic, but
sound narcissistic, go for it.
Yeah.
With crap. I'm not saying I'm the greatest artist. I'm nowhere near the greatest artist in the world, but there is a lot of crap people out there, you know. So they flood the market with cheap
average
stuff. All
right, so what is the ultimate goal of your work?
Hmm.
So, I mean, are you talking about
individual
pictures?
Here.
No, like individual pictures, or do you want to do a comic book, or do you want to be an animator?
I started off as my childhood ambition was animation, but I kind of found out along the years how much work actually goes into animating, and that kind of doesn't appeal to me too much. to do 1 second of animation, you need to draw
24 individual pictures.
It's 24 frames, but they hold the frame for 2 frames, the image for 2 frames. So an animation is 12 frames per second. So that every second is 12 drawings.
Whoa.
It's easier with computers, I think, with the computer animation, but you still have to...
Hmm.
There's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Well, you can cheat some of the computer animation with tweening and so forth. But
so the thing I like to do is comics. But the absolute best thing that's the least work is caricatures, and that's what I love to do. So make fun of people.
And speaking of caricatures, we will unveil the first of our new cover arts. So we have 3 of them altogether. Well, there's 4, but the fourth one is the same as the third one, but without a background. That's just like the generic picture. The first one, however, we'll do them in the order that the shows we'll do them in the order that the shows are actually presented. So the first one is for Tech Actually, and this is the new Tech Actually cover art. It's not finalized yet, as in like the square background and all this stuff, but the actual image is finalized, and it will be this. So so this is our new cover art for Tech Actually, which I just absolutely adore. I love the...
I love the fact that I'm holding a human brain.
Yeah, I love the brain. I also love the fact that we both have these, like, rose glasses. These are just wonderful goggles. And I love the fact that you're in a Tron suit. I think this is just... That just sums it up, really.
Yeah. It's all win, that picture.
All right, so that's the first of our cover arts. So caricature is the way to go.
Yeah. Well, and especially live caricaturing, where you go to a party or an event, and people will sit down and you just draw the picture and they see it. And it's like an immediate kind of response.
Feedback, yeah.
Mm.
It's like being a stand-up comedian or something like that. Mm. You know, someone laughs at something you've done.
And now, I've been to your website and gone through it with quite a lot of detail. And you do a lot of female nudes as well.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, but they're before, live drawings.
They're
That's
really
art.
They're really good.
Thank you.
All right. I mean, and this is the thing that attackninja.blogspot.com if you want to go see Josh's work. Your work is really good. I mean, your caricature stuff is great. But your other artwork is also really good. I mean, and this is this thing that we don't want to just make it look like you're just some sort of light cartoonist or something. You are a really, really talented artist.
Well, thank you.
And you're blushing.
I don't know how to respond to compliments very well.
You say thank you, and
thank
we
you.
Move on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know you like doing caricatures because you get that immediate feedback, but which is your primary interest, though?
Drawing girls.
Drawing girls, okay.
You know, girls are pretty, so I like to draw.
Well, look, as a photographer, I like photographing girls too, so
She's
I know
laughing,
exactly
no.
what you're saying. No, I agree.
No. The thing that I noticed in that first picture that we got, the color one, that is actually one of the pictures we're going to see in a minute, is immediately how well you grasp like the sense of a person, like highlighting the points of someone that really stick out. And I was surprised because like I know that I'm not one that takes criticism very well or anything like that, but the second I looked at myself, I just grinned like an idiot.
Yeah, no,
I was just
fantastic.
Like,
I actually have the little caricature of me from one of the ones coming up as my login picture on my computer. It's in my address book picture. All right, let's have a look at the second one. So this is the new film actually one, and this is actually my favorite of the lot. And I think once the chat room sees this, you'll realize it's because I love Josh's eyes. To me...
You're enjoying a good film in this picture.
Well, I was about to say, we're either enjoying a good film or the look on Josh's face is like we're watching Twilight.
Or the loved ones.
And it's almost like, oh my God, what am I watching? And so here it is. This is Film Actually's new cover art.
Smiling,
Davey. I'm like, yeah, baby.
And you got your chopped top in there, and
I love it. I just love it. And Josh is like, "What the hell am I watching?"
He's got a little smile on his face.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a little smile. I definitely am enjoying what I'm seeing. I'm just staring very intently at the screen.
And he's sucking the straw. That's the
Delta Knight would like to point out in the chat room that as a pickup line, you can at least use the line, "Can I draw you?"
I have done that.
Oh,
bump this.
So, all right. So that's our film actually one, and I got to say that's actually my favorite of the lot. I think that is.
I love this next one just because I think it is the quintessential us look.
Absolutely. And this is now the last one is the Geek Actually logo for Geek Actually After Show. But we're also going to use elements of this, the two main characters, on the website. And this
and
will,
on our cups.
This will be what's on the cups and the t-shirts and what have you. This is going to be, it's going to become the pseudo emblem for the set, this thing. Because I just think he summed both of us up so well. So this is this is actually for the after show, but... the actual two characters will be used in a lot of stuff because they are just brilliant. And this is our after show cover art. Now, this thing, you've just captured both of us so well.
It's the eyes. I love my eyes. And my ginormous poking out chin that could kill somebody.
Yeah.
That's just awesome.
Yeah.
God, yeah, no, I love that.
All the features.
I love the background as well. It's very well. It's very, very good.
I had to play around with the background for a while there. It was...
Well, because the original draft you sent through, it was a little busy, and we were a bit worried that it was a little too busy. But then when you bring this one out, and it's got the donut. I love the donut.
Yeah, I added the donut in there.
I like the little asteroids character at the top.
That's fantastic.
Little asteroids, and you got some comic book ones there on the side.
Callison says bonus points for the asteroids reference.
Yeah. Captain America and
Green Lantern, yeah.
He says, Delta Knight says, you've got the Star Trek symbol a little wrong, but that's okay because we're avoiding copyright violation. So those are our three new cover arts for the show, and you'll be seeing those characters turn up a lot in a lot of what's going on here over the next, from the 100th episode onwards. We are going to try and have those cover arts on this week's shows, if I can get them ready in time. So if not, we'll go out with the normal cover arts this week, and then on the 100th, we'll go out with these new cover arts. So
it's so special to go out on the 100th.
I think it is too. I think we might save them for the 100th and then go out with the 100th.
Because it's like the new face.
That's true. It's a new face. And
the new generation.
We're actually going to put that logo. I don't think Josh has seen it yet. We actually had to use...
Oh, yeah.
We actually had to use one of your samples because a special offer came through to get business cards done really cheap. Oh. And I thought, oh, crap, I need to act on this today. Right. And we didn't have the finals, but the Geek Actually logo was pretty much exactly the same as it is now. And so we did actually have some business cards made. So I thought I'd just show that to you. For those in our chat room, let's see if I can get a camera on here that can actually show.
Oh, there. Do the other one.
I can actually do it better. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
So that's the business cards we had done up. So they're actually very good.
I have a question.
Oh, you have a question. Yeah, lean in.
Look at that.
Not many people will know this. I'm actually an art student and want to be an artist. And I've done life drawing before and portraiture and painting and drawing and stuff like that. And I've always done that since I was a little kid. But I can never, ever, ever, ever do portraiture because I can't ever capture in somebody's face what makes them unique. Mm. So when you meet somebody, do you find that when you look at their face, you can instantly kind of, in your head, almost make a list and pick out what makes them unique and what facial features make them unique? Or is it when you draw them, that just kind of comes out in the whole image? Do you look at someone and go, their eyes are too close together, or their nose is too big?
Person to person. Like, there's a lot of people where the features do stand out a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they got massive eyes or massive teeth or massive nose.
Yeah. Or John Howard's eyebrows.
Yeah. Something like that. But the thing is, you can actually draw the same person like 10 different ways and it will still look like them if you kind of do, like, you know, have to pay attention with the features, what ones stand out, because you might get an art, like 10 different artists will draw the same person. Mm. They'll be totally different pictures, but they will still,
they'll still look capture like that person. Yeah. Mm. And that person's kind of personality as well.
I forgot your question.
When you meet someone for the first time, when you're asked to draw someone for the first time, can you look at them and just pick out the key features, or does it just kind of happen?
It does depend on the person. Yeah. Like, sometimes, as soon as I see it, it's like I see them as a cartoon.
Yeah.
Because that's how I see the world, as a cartoon.
Mm. Yeah.
So it, you know, some people are more cartoony than other people. Yeah. Some people are boring faces.
Plain faces.
Plain faces. Yeah. And they're harder, but yeah, so it does.
Ah, it's a personal question. Depends, yeah. When I contacted you and said we want to do these caricatures, how hard was it for you to come up with Josh and me?
You were pretty easy. Josh was a bit...
Draw Jabba the Hutt and put a beard on it, right?
Oh, come on, yeah.
Or an overweight Hasidic Jew.
I would have gone with Peter. Dude, seriously, we all know that there's the Peter Jackson esque, if anything. That's in no way sort of anything I would shy away from.
There definitely was a bit of Peter Jackson in there, and it's the beard, you know, that stands out on everything else, so that
it
was
does
easy
take up, like,
to
half
do.
His face, so.
So yeah. Yeah. It's beard, hair, glasses, and a little nose.
Yes, I have a little nose. And Josh, I know the original first drafts that came out, I should have put the drafts up here as well, because some of the drafts were really clever. The first draft that came out, Josh had a full beard.
Because I did look on his...
I don't think I've even seen that one.
I just saw the old black and white
sketch. I looked
sketch.
On his Facebook, because, you know, I couldn't really remember what he looked like when I was drawing them, because I don't think I'd met him at that point.
No, we hadn't met up for the meetup yet.
So, I just looked at his Facebook, and his pictures had beards, so I drew him with a beard.
Mm. And we contacted Josh and said, well, you have to take the beard off because Josh doesn't have a beard. But then we thought, but Josh is always unshaved. So we need to make him look like he's kind of like that halfway point.
It's the geek uniform. It's like stubble and a t-shirt.
Stubble and a t-shirt. That's what defines
I take geeks. Stubble to a whole new level.
it's pretty stubbly.
So, where was I? I was lost. I was going to say something. I had something really intelligent to say right there at that moment.
Sure you did, Dad.
And it just went gone out of my head.
It's my problem. I get like a million thoughts in my head and I can't express one of them.
So do you have any, because we all like reading comics here, do you have any comic projects coming up?
Yes. I entered a competition a few years ago. It was the comic book challenge with Platinum Comics.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And a friend of mine had written a comic and I was doing the art for it. And then we entered the competition, got into the top 50, went to San Diego to pitch the comic. But we didn't get into the top 10. And then I started doing more pages, but then I got sidetracked with other projects and things like that. So the plan is to do a black and white comic and kind of self-publish it, because we were trying to look around for publishers and no one was getting back to us. And so it's a bit hard to get published in comics and stuff. So
yeah, the reason why, because Josh and I were actually toying with the idea of producing a comic book at one point, but of course not having an artist was always an issue. But you know, you may be getting a call from us, and once again, it would be a completely self-published.
It'd
be a webcomic is what we're actually.
That's doing. The way to go. A lot if you get good exposure and lots of people are following your work, then you can make more money possibly. Then you know, if you did it through a studio or whatever, and you got paid one off. And just got royalties. I don't know how it works. I'd never done a comic before. So. But if, you know, you sell it on Amazon or eBay or whatever.
So with the comic you were working on, were you writing as well? Or
No, I was just the artist.
You're just the artist.
Yeah.
Are you interested in writing at all?
Yeah, I've written a few little comics. Like, I actually do have people emailing me. And going, can you do like a little 5-page thing? And I do that, and sometimes I write them, and sometimes they write them. So
right.
People do see my stuff and want little fan comics and stuff like that done. You know, so that's fun.
We'll talk after the show. Not something we should bring up on air. We will talk after the show. Now, I think it's fascinating, and I think as soon as the roughs came through, I don't have them on the board, but as soon as those roughs came through, I did plan, oh my, because when I first talked to you, I said, it'd be great idea to get caricatures, but we weren't sure how it was all going to work and everything else. And then those first drafts came through, and I think we all just kind of went, yes!
Captured the personality.
Absolutely. First shot. Just first shot. You just captured the personality of all of that. And we just started to really anticipate and wait for those drafts to come in because we were like, yes, we want to see more, you know? And yeah, I think you did a really, really exceptional job. And we'll just run through those one more time for the people in the chat room. Now, for those listening to the audio, these will be online before this comes out. So we will actually put up the samples of the artwork on a post. So even before they come out as a cover art, just so you can see them. And just look for the post that says Spanese cartoons or something like that, and we'll have those out. But here's the tech actually one, which I just think is lovely. Now, Callison in our chat room has said, question for Josh. Have you considered doing a webcomic since they seem to be the way more artists are being found these days? I think you've already answered that.
Well, I do have a I've been neglecting it of late, but I do have a Facebook group, which is my little comics. Like, I do little joke comics, like Far Side, or what really inspires me a lot is the Perry Bible Fellowship. I don't know if you've heard of...
I haven't read them.
It's pretty hilarious and twisted, so I like that kind of stuff.
So out of comic book artists, the comic books are around today, what are some of your favorites? I know that Preacher is in
well,
high marks for these two.
Not necessarily.
When I was growing up, I didn't really read a whole lot of comics. Like, I got into comics more like when I was 18, 19. The comics I read when I was a kid was like The Phantom, Asterix and Obelix.
I used to read Phantom.
Yeah.
Asterix and Obelix was huge for me, and Calvin and Hobbes.
Calvin Hobbes.
Hobbes.
Yeah. Wherever you're from.
Have you
those
say that?
Kind of series of cartoon books. Like, were you much of a Tintin fan?
Oh, I can't believe I even forgot to say Tintin.
Well, I love Tintin. Together for me,
Tintin. Yeah, Tintin, Asterix,
time.
And Obelix. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, I kind of even forgot. I have like Tintin T-shirts that I got from Thailand. The pirated Tintin, and I've also got some Calvin and Hobbes T-shirts from Thailand as well. So,
my wife is a huge Calvin and Hobbes fan.
I love. Yeah, I got some of the books and stuff, and Tintin definitely was a big influence on me as well with the whole like traveling thing and all that. And yeah, it's really cool.
I always loved. Name's gone out of my head. Give me a second. The Opus comics. So what were the original Opus Penguin? He was part of... it's the Berkeley Breathe cartoons.
No.
They were really funny. What the hell are they called? Chat room, anybody remember these? They're really localized to America. I don't know if they ever had a huge market over here.
We'll have to find out and let us know.
They're really good. We used to have them all as collections, and I don't know whatever happened to them. And I also used to love Doonesbury. I used to read Doonesbury a lot back in the 80s.
I liked Garfield.
Garfield I loved as well.
When I was younger. Not so much now. It kind of gets tiring. But I can still read Tintin. Like, I've got Tintin books at home, and I still crack them open and stuff. And but now, the comic books I read more is not superhero ones so much, but like 100 Bullets. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100 Bullets and, like, Hellboy.
Yeah.
And the spin-off BRPD.
I haven't heard that.
BRPD is like...
I didn't know the biggest spin-off of Hellboy.
That's
isn't it the guys around?
It's the guys around him, like Abe Sapien, and there's a homunculus character, and this... I don't know. There's a whole bunch of little characters. Hellboy's not in it, really. It's just the team, and they go out and fight all the monsters and stuff with guns.
Almost, you know, the cynic in me, it's funny, the cynic in me immediately goes, let me see, they're making a comic book without Hellboy but all the support characters, and if you look at it and you go, they're selling them and franchising them into films, and the guy who plays Hellboy is not getting any younger, and so this would be a way to continue the film series on without having him as the lead.
I think all the rest
he's
of them
still
have...
kind of cameos in every now and again, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
It's pretty good.
Interesting. I've been catching up on a bunch of major series. Walking Dead, of course, is one that we're all very keen on here. And Why the Last Man. I'm reading Preacher at the moment. I actually really like the artwork in Walking Dead. I really like the style.
I'm going to have to borrow it from Josh, I think. I haven't read it.
It's got this very stark black and white. It's really, really well done.
You can really see the individual brush strokes coming in as well, which is really beautiful in some comics as well. That's why I love artists like Frank Miller. It's so you can see where he's gotten his brush or his text, and he's just done these massive large strokes. Can be quite gestural as well.
Speaking of Frank Miller, I love Sin City. I've got the whole
clip. Sin City, Batman, his Daredevil as well. This fantastic. He illustrates, like, it is so stylized.
Well, this is one of the reasons
really
why
beautiful.
I loved 300, the comic, not the movie, because the comic actually has very few words in it. It's just these beautiful panels of artwork.
Of images,
And it's like every single one of them is like a mini work of art.
And it's just staggering. And it's in that wide format, printed in that wide format, so you actually get these beautiful, like almost widescreen images.
There's also an Australian artist, I have completely forgotten his name, he does... graphic novels where they're usually in quite large A4 or larger format, and that each page is essentially just either really beautiful pencil rendering or watercolors, and he'll do entire stories with no dialogue in them. I could find out his name for you if we're interested, because I've got one
that would
of his
be interesting
comments.
Yeah, for sure.
I could go grab it right now.
Interesting. I actually really like the I really like the artwork in Why the Last Man as well, because one of my favorite forms of artwork in comic books, and I don't know, you guys might disagree or not, but I like it when they get really realistic. When they don't, I find that Marvel comics sometimes they in a run, when they start to get bored, will throw to these incredibly stylized artists. Spider-Man did that for a while, where they had these almost manga style Spider-Mans, and I actually really like it when they're really ultra realistic, lots of detail in a picture, and I think that Why the Last Man captures that really well. It's got this
kind of
real world, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, though, because I think there's a line for that, though. Like, there's an artist who did Extremis, which was a Iron Man comic, and I actually borderline don't like that, because he tries to make the images too real looking. Like, everybody gets kind of like sort of really sort of detailed faces and so on. It almost looks like they're trying to create a real image, and that can wreck the art style a little bit for me.
It depends on if it's solid or not, though. I mean, if you keep it really realistic and you can maintain that quality all the way throughout, then that could be.
It also depends on the story that you're telling.
That's true.
It works for Extremis.
Because
what I was getting to.
One of the things that turned me off, Scott Pilgrim. when I first got the books was I couldn't get past the art style. Mm-hmm. And I was having a lot of trouble getting past the art style because it was too cutesy.
I think it suited that style of story. And it did. That anime style, really big eyes, little teardrops
but
coming out.
But see, that's the thing. It did after you get into it. But that initial reaction was it was
a
turn-off.
Because it was a cartoon. It was a cartoon about a cartoon.
Yeah. And once you get the handle, as I said, with Scott Pilgrim, it took me a good 20 pages. Mm-hmm. And then once you get in the flow of it, suddenly you take off.
Yeah.
Right? But it was jarring at first to get into because you kind of go, oh, this is like one of those, you know, Japanese manga books and I don't really care.
Which is kind of what he's going for.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And once you get into that mood,
and once you realize that it's supposed to be that kind of tacky style Japanese kind of anime sort of illustrations. This artist, Sean Tan. He also does his... Last August, he had a signing at Kinokuniya. But yeah, really large panels. That's actually one that has wording in it. But a lot of his works will not actually have any dialogue at all or written stuff. It'll be just illustrations. And they're really beautifully detailed.
Really beautiful.
And really bizarre and strange. Like, he creates these really weird cityscapes.
It's very surreal.
Yeah, really, really surreal stuff. Also,
you know what it is? It's vaguely Yellow Submarine-ish.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what he's inspired by. Because he'll do stories kind of based on real life events, but set them in these bizarre, strange cities with bizarre, strange creatures. Mm-hmm. Also, something else I had to grab was the Dark Tower because there are two illustrators for that. There's a colorist and an inker, and they both work together to create the images in this. And here we have really, really striking panels of color: bright purple, bright red, bright orange, kind of green.
These are beautiful. I love these.
Like, absolutely beautiful. Open it up to one of the main panels because some of the works are absolutely amazing. Like, stuff like that. Mm. Like, you've got whole color panels that are really, really striking. Really heavily stylized but unique in what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, my biggest influence.
Like, you got all the purple.
Earlier
there.
On was J. Scott Campbell, who did Danger Girl.
Danger Girl.
The way he draws girls was like perfect.
Well, the dude who illustrates Tank Girl as well. Really crazy,
James
quirky
Hugh,
characters and just so
James
much visually.
Hewitt?
I think so.
Yeah, he
so
does
much
the
stuff
gorillas,
visually going on.
He does
on
the gorillas
stuff.
Artwork as well.
Yeah.
That stuff's awesome.
He worked for a magazine, so I can't remember who it was. He had the best storylines, like bizarre kind of Gonzo-esque stories that would entail people like Liam from Oasis or something like that.
That was the Tank Girl stuff, wasn't it?
It was during the same period.
Yeah. Yeah. Delta Nessus, those are huge panels for a comic.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's what I love about the Gunslinger Born is that it's in this A4 format, and they will do entire pages of just a single panel, just as a single image, and it really adds a lot of atmosphere to the story.
Hmm.
Zero punctuation.
Don't worry, they're just having a little private conversation.
Okay, I'm just trying to catch up with the chat room because we've been focused on comic books.
Mm.
Anyway, well, you know, I think this is fantastic, and I think that this is not the end of our relationship with Josh Spencer. I'm sure we are going to have other stuff coming up for him, and I'm really, really happy with the artwork, and I hope everybody out there enjoys them. I think they're really going to stand out in iTunes, which is what the real focus of the artwork is to really kind of jump off the page. And I think that it's going to succeed in doing that quite well. So I'm very happy, and I'm very happy you could come along to the studio.
Yep. All the way from whoop.
Whoop, whoop. Yes, you've traveled all the way across Sydney.
I had to cross the bridge. I actually went through the tunnel. So
basically drive.
I'm from the north.
Yeah.
And north and south, it's like, wow.
Yeah. It's like drive north, and then when you get lost, turn left. That's where it takes us.
First start of the right until the morning, right?
I live in the bush.
Yeah.
So we are grateful that you came down for the show. Now, we just got a couple of reminders for our audience before we leave everybody here for the day. Next week is the 100th episode. The way this is going to work was we've been talking about this 100th episode for a long time, and it's kind of just jumped up on us now, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's finally here. We are going to still have to get shows out. We can't just 100th episode the whole day long because we've got things to talk about as well. So what we've decided is that we're going to kind of steer the 100th episode celebrations into the after show.
Okay.
So we'll mention the 100th episode on Tech Actually, and we'll mention it on Film Actually. But really, when you think about it, It's the 100th episode of Geek Actually, and considering that the after show is kind of what Geek Actually morphed into, this is kind of where it belongs. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be playing some clips from the past. We're going to find some of the juicier clips from the past. We're going to try and get some of our...
We have some doozies.
Yeah, we got some doozies. We're going to try and Skype in a few of the past hosts. I'm still trying to find a couple of them, including Jake, who was the host on the very first episode. So we're trying to get him. If Jake hears this episode, please get in contact with me. I am trying to find you. And we're going to try and Skype some people in for like little bits and pieces, 10 minutes and so forth. So it should be a lot of fun. So do listen to our 100th episode next week. And if you can come into the chat room and watch it live, even better. Because... we'll be watching the chat room. More the merrier. We're going to have a lot of fun in that 100th episode. So now, oh, that's you. I'm looking at you going, did you want a sample? I was like, oh, no, that's Josh. Josh is typing in the chat room. All right, we'll just do a couple of...
They're talking about, will there be free virtual food next episode? And I said, yes, would you like a sample?
And apparently, Digital Angel, who hasn't been in our chat room in forever, but she actually requested fireworks. We're even going to try and make that happen. All right?
Josh will be providing sound.
I'm the human foley.
I didn't say they would be real. I just said that we would try it. All right. So if you want to see more of Josh Spencer's work, if you want to see his lovely naked ladies, if you want to see more of his cartoons and caricatures.
Wow. You're really putting it out there with the naked ladies.
Hey, I got naked ladies on my wall here. I'm a photographer.
I should draw some more naked ladies.
Draw more naked ladies, man. They're very good.
Wow.
You can go shoot over to attackninja.blogspot.com and check out his artwork because it is really worth having a look at. Make sure you do listen to our other shows, Film Actually and Tech Actually. They are all recorded on the same day. We go out live, 12 p.m. every Saturday. We start and we keep going. And today it's now 20 to 5 and we're still here. So we're going to finish this up and get out of here.
For real?
Yeah, for real. So it's been a very long day today. We've had technical issues and all sorts of other things. So we're going to get out of here. If you agree, disagree, want to put in the request, anything you want at all, feedback@geekactually.com or 02-8011-3167 is our voicemail line. And you can also follow our fan page, which is facebook.com/geekactually. And you can follow me personally, twitter.com/DavidMcVeigh. And Josh, where can people find out more about you?
RoyDLC.com. That is all.
That is all.
I'm tired, man.
All right. No big plug for there. Raw DLC.
Oh, actually, if you go to my blog, there's got links to my Facebook and Twitter and all
Fantastic.
That on there as well. So.
So, yes, follow. And as we do with all of our guests, we do put out the request that if you are going to follow one of our guests on Facebook, make sure you do specify that you heard about them through us. That way they don't think you're just some weirdo. Just
I'm an attention whore anyway, so I'll just...
Oh, okay. Josh will take anybody, all right? All right, not a problem.
Yeah.
RawDLC.com is where you find DLC Live, the gaming podcast with Josh, David, and Nathan, and the Stig, and that would be Shane. And
I watched that episode, huh?
Did you hear? Oh, before we go, have you heard about this controversy with
the Stig?
The Stig?
Yeah.
The fact that they actually took him to court not to reveal his identity. The producers of the show and the network took him to court to stop him from revealing his... Because he wanted to reveal his person, who he was, in his biography. He'd written a book. Yeah. And he was going to reveal who he was in the book. And they've taken him to court basically saying, you cannot reveal yourself because...
Did he sign a contract or something?
No, but it's just this whole thing about the show and
well,
how...
Well, there's no contract.
But he won, and he has now there unmasked. You and
you do not own his identity.
No, and I just thought that was just the most ridiculous thing... but he, as I say in the chat room, he has been unmasked now because he basically...
So who was he?
Well, if they lost anyway, they lost...
I forget, the chat room, who is he again? I mean, I don't think he's...
Michael Schumacher?
No, I'm not going to make that joke. That's a little bit low-key. I will say that... The whole thing is, though, that the second they took him to court, it was over anyway.
Because
like, the second
record.
They did that, like... Well, no, not only that. The second they did that, up shot all these things about who it was. It was like immediately you lost by just...
Ben Collins is his name.
Yeah.
Delta Knight has put it
in. Ben Collins.
Yeah,
that
I knew
guy.
Him well.
Yeah. Of my school bus.
All right, we're going to get ourselves out of here. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Celine, thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Do you want to plug anything while we're here?
No.
No? Okay. We've plugged you. We plugged me. Everybody's plugged. Ooh, yep. That sounds terrible. And we're going to get out of here. Thank you very much for joining us all. Thank you, chat room. We couldn't do it without you. You guys are fantastic. And we will see you all next week.
All right.
Laters. We'll be right back.